From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where, after 8 years as president of Roxbury Community College, Dr. Valerie Roberson plans to step down. This follows calls for a resignation and reports of mismanagement. For more on why this happened and what it means for the school, we're joined now by GBH's Tori Bedford. Hey, Tori, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So it sounds like there's been a lot of internal displeasure with Dr. Roberson. What's going on?
Yeah, so Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins, who's also the board chairman of Roxbury Community College, he announced on Tuesday that Roberson was stepping down at a public board meeting. He thanked her for her service and acknowledged a series of complaints that have been issued against her and, you know, to the board in this public comment forum. A group of current and former employees, they wrote a letter in October to the board that detailed allegations of racism, discrimination, and a general kind of toxic workplace culture that stemmed from upper management. And they say that's resulted in a significant employee turnover. Since 2019, 30 employees in departments from the dean's office to nursing directors have resigned or been terminated from administrative positions at the public college. And 80% of those who left the school are people of color. Loretta Miner, who is a longtime academic coordinator at RCC, said that the extreme employee turnover is the result of negligence that directly impacts students' educational pathways and leads students to enroll at other schools.
If we're not addressing some of the root issues of why people are leaving, then what it's going to consistently do is hurt our students. And really, I'm speaking on behalf of the students who talk to me daily and are dissatisfied with the product that we are delivering.
Yeah, and what about the students at RCC? I mean, when Dr. Roberson spoke to some of our colleagues last year, she gave the impression that in 2020, the school was expecting enrollment to increase amid the pandemic and general disillusionment with the cost of a four-year school.
Yeah, so enrollment is interesting because the Globe recently reported that enrollment at community colleges across the state is generally down, and it is, you know, in the last 20 years. But if you look at data from the Massachusetts Department of Education, the overall picture is actually a little more complicated. With the exception from the three largest community colleges, Bunker Hill, Middlesex, and Quinsigamond, undergraduate enrollment at community colleges is at its lowest point. But in terms of changes since 2019, enrollment's actually up pretty much everywhere else. So a handful of schools are actually reporting that they have higher enrollment this year, and the range is from +3% to -35%. That -35% is Roxbury Community College, which really stands out. There's a pretty big disparity at the bottom of the list. They have the lowest enrollment by a pretty large margin.
Oh, that's not good news.
Yeah, some employees say that this is because students have had to drop classes or have chosen to enroll in other institutions after contracts were signed late by management, and some professors have had to leave as well. There are still teachers there who are owed wages going back weeks or even months in some cases.
Okay, so there are a lot of issues tangled up here, but do they start and end with Dr. Roberson's leadership?
No, and I think it's interesting to look at this as sort of a top-down issue because obviously, you know, there's been immense pressure for her resignation, but a lot of what has been complained about in the letter and in these discussions involves Vice President Cecile Regner. They've asked for her resignation. They've attributed a lot of the mismanagement to her, including delayed payments and neglected contracts. And so the question now is sort of what will happen with Regner. There's been no response to my request for comments, and she wasn't mentioned in a statement from Roxbury Community College that was sent to our colleagues. Nate Sims, who's a former RCC employee who helped pen the letter, reiterated the call for Regner's resignation during that public comment period in the meeting.
The college is in a potentially catastrophic stage of dilapidation. Our officials in our community now seem to be getting together to take necessary action to address these issues. President Valerie Roberson, thank you for your time and wish you the best of luck understanding the resignation. However, clearly, we want determination of Executive Vice President Cecile Regner, first and foremost.
So where does the school go from here?
Well, the search now begins for a new interim president, and a timeline hasn't been provided, but often a presidential search like this, they really take a long time. So in the meantime, President Roberson, she told us that, you know, she confirmed her departure. She said that it has, quote, been an honor and a privilege to lead Roxbury Community College, and she's proud of the progress the college has made in the past 8.5 years, which was how long she served. She's confident that she's leaving the institution in a stronger position than when she started.
What are the larger takeaways or lessons from this mismanagement, Tori? And what does it mean for the community at large?
So I think what's really unfortunate about this story is that, you know, RCC is seen as a jewel in the community. It's seen as this place where you can get an opportunity. So a lot of the frustration is that this already underserved community is not getting the best educational opportunities. And a lot of this, you know, financial stuff is being squandered or mismanaged. The state conducted an audit of the school that came out in October. They were building on a previous audit from 2014. There have already been some big changes in the wake of that. So that's, you know, something that's kind of come out of this that's sort of in the transitional period for the school. The audit found that 13 of the 19 employees who were working at the Reggie Lewis Track and Field Center, which is the school's athletic center, they'd not been subjected to mandatory background checks. So they weren't checked to see if they were in the sex offender registry. And since that audit, all those employees have had that background check. Necessary documents were also missing from the audit. The state said it was because they were kept in a room with water damage. And so now they have a software to move everything onto a digital platform, and employees have been trained on that software. Also, there was a great deal of mismanagement with funds and overspending. I think faculty are still hoping for an answer about getting that sorted out in addition to the outstanding wage payments. But obviously, things are really still in transition, and the next step will be this search for a new interim president.
Well, it's great to have you keeping up with this and helping us dissect it all. That's GBH reporter Tori Bedford. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. With Governor Charlie Baker and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito announcing they will not seek a third term, Democrats are more hopeful than ever about coming out on top in next year's gubernatorial election. Former State Senator Ben Downing, who is in the running, says that Baker and Polito's exit makes it more likely that a Democrat will win.
Governor Baker would have been a formidable opponent and challenger, no two-way spot.
Another Democrat who's entered the race, State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz, says Baker's decision shouldn't lead her party to take voters for granted.
Does it change the nature of the field? Of course it does. But the end goal is still the same.
Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey, who is widely considered a Democratic frontrunner for governor, has not yet announced her intentions. In an interview on Bloomberg TV, Healey said her decision would come, quote, soon. In other news, local hospitals are preparing for the Omicron variant. The CDC says it's now been detected in the United States, in California specifically. Concerns about Omicron come as cases in Massachusetts continue to rise, but so far they're mostly Delta, according to Mass General Brigham Chief Operating Officer Dr. Ron Walls.
But we're expecting Omicron to be showing up very soon.
The state's seven-day positive test rate for COVID came in at more than 5% yesterday, the highest it's been since January. And finally, a judge has ruled that the Massachusetts Department of Correction can no longer punish inmates if mail from their lawyers tests positive for illicit drugs, because the tests are not reliable without a lab confirming the results. WBUR's Deborah Becker has more on this.
Although there's limited data, the ruling says the so-called NARC-2 test returns false positive results almost 40% of the time. If a prisoner's mail tests positive, the person is sent to a restrictive housing unit or solitary confinement, cannot participate in programming, and has limited contact with counsel until a lab confirms the result, and that can take months.
A federal lawsuit over the test is pending. Hey, one small step for criminal justice and another small step for state prison reform. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since our criminal justice system and making it better, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey there! A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's Up First in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day. And the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.